The Forest Society unveiled a map at Monday's press conference showing four key parcels of land, all privately owned, announcing that all four landowners have agreed to conservation easements that add up to 1,500 acres in Coos County.
I think we think it's an important move for the state of New Hampshire to make it clear that we intend to protect New Hampshire's scenic landscapes from the top to the bottom.
Now the push is on to raise $2.5 million to pay for those easements. Northern Pass project leaders say they've dealt with challenges like this before.
We've had obstacles from the Forest Society put in front of us before, and we simply have to work around them. This is a very significant project and one that is worth considering.
The Forest Society says they're not opposed to bringing hydroelectric power into New Hampshire and New England, but stress this is a private for-profit venture that would permanently alter the landscape of the North Country.
To date, we feel that Northern Pass has been unwilling to look at those alternatives. And I think, you know, burying is maybe an opportunity. Putting it along public highways is perhaps an alternative.
Well, that's part of the WMUR story from yesterday's press conference at the Forest Society's headquarters in Concord. Jack Savage, Will Abbott, Jane Diffley, all there to announce a new initiative by the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests in order to work with landowners who are opposed to Northern Pass. Yes, that's right. Well, good morning to you, Bulldog Brian Tilton, here on another beautiful day. Oh, what a nice way to wrap up your summer, right? I know I don't like to say that, but what the heck? It is the last week. Great day for a bicycle ride in. Yeah, that's for sure. Shout out to Doug and Warner. Nice conversation I had with them this morning right before I got before I hit the road, so that was fine. And thanks to the nice lady who allowed me to go through her property after I ran into a detour. I came down the bottom of a long hill, and the road's closed. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So it just so happened that this car was pulling up right behind me at the same moment. And I said, you know anything about this? She goes, I live in the last house here. Let me, you can go, you can walk through my property. I'm like, thank you very much. Because I really didn't want to go back up that hill. Yeah, but anyway, 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number right here on Bulldog Live. Joining us right now with all the details to the new initiative by the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests, the Trees Not Towers campaign, is Jack Savage. And Jack, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Bulldog. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, I couldn't get over there to the press conference, so I figured I'd bring you here.
We're happy to be here.
And then we can talk you know, up close and personal about what your new initiative is.
Yeah, we're, you know, as you know, Bulldog, we've been working to have PSNH and Northeast Utilities look more carefully at some of the better alternatives if they want to find a way to bring hydropower from Canada down to southern New England. What they want to do is the cheap and easy way, is put wires on towers, sort of a 19th century approach. And we and many, many others in the state and many other organizations think that's a really bad idea. Our latest initiative is to simply stop them from being able to find a route to do that. They've been buying up land. They spent over $15 million up in Coos County to acquire some 40 different properties in fee and in some cases some rights of way. And that poses an additional concern. If any of your listeners have been up to Montreal area, they know what the industrialized landscape looks like, where Hydro-Quebec has simply bullied their way through and put power line after power line after power line, you know, approaching hundreds of feet wide. And the way Northern Pass has gone about this, the way they've acquired land and the amount of the investment that they've put into it suggests that that's what we're in store for here, that once one line is in, we can expect more lines and more lines and more lines. And that is something that we absolutely shouldn't tolerate. We need to have them looking forward into the next century rather than back into the two centuries ago in terms of how they approach transmitting energy. So what we've done is worked with some landowners up north, four of them involving over 1,500 acres, in which we've acquired purchase-sale agreements that would put conservation easements on land that disrupts and interrupts their intended route. they've been kind of cagey about their route up there, but it's pretty evident, and we've put out a map to show exactly where they intend to go and exactly where the land we're protecting is and how it's in the way.
Yeah, and in fact, people can go to briantilton.com. They can see a picture of one of the properties that you're seeking to protect. They can also see the map as well of the purchases in question for this. It's a total of 5 properties in 2 towns, right?
That's right. There's 4 landowners, 5 different parcels. Most of the land is in Stewartstown, and it's to the west of the Balsams property that we worked to protect last winter. Then there's another property down at the southern end of that same Balsams property. There's a certain logic to looking at where they might go if they attempt to go around the blocking action that we've taken. And one option might be that they would head and try to get through down below the Balsams, between the Balsams and the state's Nash Stream Forest. They've acquired a piece of property down there, and we're putting an easement on a budding piece that would not allow them to do that.
Right, exactly. And one of the there's 2 properties that our listeners might even recognize, especially anybody who has any familiarity with the North Country. Lynn Placey, who has been in the news several times, she's been approached many times. You're looking to buy an easement on her property because she has said no multiple times to many offers by Northern Pass to buy that land. And then the other one is the McAllister Dairy Farm.
That's right. The McAllister family has quite a bit of land up there. We're looking at putting an easement on about 967 acres. Some of my fellow snowmobilers will know this land really well.
Because
if you go up, it's one of the trails that goes up to Pittsburgh and up to Coleman State Park. And you ascend this long hill up to just a world-class view. You can see miles from there. You can see up to over to Vermont and down to the Presidentials and over towards the Balsams. It's incredible. I remember when I pulled into the driveway of Mr. McAllister's farm, I immediately recognized that I'd been there before because I'd been there on snowmobile.
And I think many of us have. Yeah. I know I have several times.
Right. That portion of the trail is also used by the COAS Trail that goes from down the White Mountains up to the Canadian border. And a portion of that crosses the Balsam. So this is recreational land as well as a working landscape. And I think that's one thing that we need to value here in New Hampshire. This is a working dairy farm. They cut timber. They do some maple sugaring. And as Mr. McAllister points out, there aren't that many places like that left of that size.
Nope.
There's some land is still owned by TMOs and paper companies of that size. But in terms of a real working landscape, an agricultural landscape, there's many open fields. He uses the fields for grazing for his cattle. He hays other parts of some of the fields. And that's an important part of making that dairy operation viable. And so and he has no interest in having towers. And so he's taken steps to ensure that will always be the case, not just while he owns it or his family owns it. The important thing to understand about these conservation easements is that they're perpetual.
Yes.
We think this threat is going to be ongoing. We think that Hydro-Québec will be looking to punch down through New Hampshire. When they fail with Northern Pass, they will look to the other way about it. And we intend to compel them to look at alternatives that are within reach. There are ways to do this. There are many people who don't think it's a good idea to do it all, but there are ways to do this that doesn't have the same kind of impact on the landscape.
Right, exactly. Jack Savage joining us now from the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forest, 1-866-823-1077, talking about their Trees Not Towers campaign. And looking at some of these parcels, the easements that you want to buy, another one is very prime hunting and fishing grounds as well.
Right. This is about 500 acres just to the west of the McAllister Farm. Owned by Greenacre Woodlands, and again, the views there are astounding. I mean, it's 360 degrees. It's just remarkable. I took a walk up the hill up there, and just it's Sound of Music kind of stuff, Brown, is what it is. You want to go up there and go, the hills are alive. And it's the last place in the world anybody should put a power line. And so given how we're trying to block Northern Pass, they would be a next logical place where they might attempt to go. And so we're working to put an easement on that. And you're right, the easement in that case will guarantee public access for hunting and some of the sort of traditional recreation.
It'll keep that area open for hunting and other activities.
Yeah, and given, again, the open landscape, they work with some programs to keep the fields on top of those hills open. That's prime game bird habitat.
Okay, very good. So now this initiative, this is a fundraising initiative now that you got to do in order to complete the purchase and sales agreements that you have on these parcels.
Right, just as Northern Pass is far from a done deal, this initiative, this Trees Not Towers campaign, is far from a done deal. And we have a big challenge ahead of us. We're confident that we can do it, but we have to raise $2.5 million between now and the end of October.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as we did with the Balsams campaign, we're reaching out to all those who have been encouraging us to oppose Northern Pass to vote with their pocketbooks to the extent they can. And we hope to raise the money to acquire these easements and block Northern Pass.
Well, let me give a testimony here to what the Forest Society has done so far, and I've been able to follow your initiatives for the last year and a half, and you're certainly one of the leading organizations out there, and there's many terrific organizations and individuals working to fight Northern Pass. What you did with the Balsams easement was a tremendous success story. What you're doing in educating people about the drawbacks of the Northern Pass project, what you've done on the legal front to study various questions along the line. And then I see a lot of your bumper stickers around the area, even up where I live, Warner Sutton area. Every time I go to the supermarket now, I see a Trees Not Towers sticker from the Forest Society on people's cars. So a lot of people out there really concerned about this, and this is one great way that they can help you to fight this Northern Pass project and protect that land for future generations, just like we did with the Balsams.
You know, Brian, within an hour of us posting this on our website, we had $500 worth of donations. Now, that's a long way from $2.5 million. I'll grant you that. But the point is that the reaction is immediate. People get it, and that's what you're seeing when you see these bumper stickers all over the state, is that when they look at what Northern Pass purports to be, it just strikes them as wrong, and so they immediately react against it, and we've joined with those folks to try to force a different outcome. I think it's also important that we want to give landowners up there. It's been very difficult for some of those folks who have been faced with this choice. When someone walks in the door and offers you millions of dollars for, and you never even dreamed of that kind of thing, this can be life-changing money. And so we want to work with some landowners and offer them a different option. And we've signed purchase and sale agreements with these four landowners, and we're continuing to talk to others as we go forward.
I can tell you, in the case with Lynn Placey, who is one of the property owners that you've been able to work with on this, her property in Stewartstown, she is surrounded by people who have sold out to Northern Pass, and she refuses to sell out. And she is a lady who is retired. She gives piano lessons. That's a little supplemental income for her. And even that's been down a little bit lately. And she's been offered insane amounts of money for her land. And she says, I just won't do this to my neighbors, and I won't do this to our state. But she can only say that for so long without a proper support structure in place. And that's why I'm glad to see that she has been able to work with you and you've been able to work with them, because contrary to what Northern Pass says, we've been working with willing landowners. Well, there's a lot of unwilling landowners when it comes to Northern Pass, and there are a bunch of willing landowners to work with the Forest Society.
Yeah, and in Lynn Placey's situation, too, I would point out that, you know, we're thinking forever. So we're thinking beyond Lynn Placey, because as we look at this situation, it seems to us that Northern Pass is also looking long term. And so our defense of the New Hampshire scenic landscape needs to be long term. So I certainly hope that Lynn Placey continues to live a long and fruitful life. for decades
I think she
yet
will.
To come. But we want to make sure that 30 years from now, that protection of that piece of land that she finds so special is still in place. This is about her legacy. It's about New Hampshire's legacy of mm-hmm. a scenic working landscape. And so we're intending to do that and do it permanently.
So how do people get to help out now to help you raise the $2.5 million by October 31st?
Sure. You can call Suzanne Kibler-Hacker at our office, 224-9945, and speak directly to her or myself or someone else there. You can also go to our website and make a donation online, www.forestsociety.org. There's a big banner on there.
Are these tax-deductible donations?
They are. We're a nonprofit 501c3 organization.
Very good. Jack, before I have to let you go, I do have one caller who wants to chime in on this. Tracy from Goffstown, you're on Bulldog Live along with Jack Savage from the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests.
Okay. Well, I just had one quick question for Jack, and then I'll take my answer off the air. He thought there was a better place to send Northern Pass through. And I'm sort of ambivalent about the whole thing anyway. So I was wondering what he thought was a proper, place for it to go down from Canada to, the southern tier. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tracy.
That's a great question, Tracy. Thanks to Senate Bill 361, the legislature is now taking a look at some options that would use existing transportation corridors to bury such a transmission line. So in that case, the state would benefit by making use of those existing transportation corridors. That would be state highways and the like. And the technology is within reach to do that. This is something that could easily happen within the time frame of a long-term project like this.
All right, very good, and we'll be following that. We've talked with Senator Jeanie Forrester, the chair of that commission. They've had two meetings already this month. They have another one coming up on August 30th. People can find out more about that one as well at my website, briantilton.com, on the Northern Pass page. They can also read the press release that you put out yesterday. They can see the picture of the McAllister farm that we've talked about. And, I'll also link up to the donation link on forestsociety.org. And again,
thank you.
What is the phone number that people can call and who should they talk to?
603-224-9945 and talk to Suzanne Kibler-Hacker.
All right. Very good. Jack, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Bulldog.
And,
we appreciate
and
it.
And we'll have more follow-up conversations on this, I'm sure. All right. Thank you very much. Bulldog Live continues Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean. Next, you're on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.